Welcome to the HR Like a Boss podcast. Join John Bernatovich as he embarks on a journey to get to know amazingly awesome HR and business professionals to understand what it takes to do HR like a boss. Each week, John chats with professionals with a wealth of knowledge and practical experience to help you tackle HR's biggest challenges. If you enjoy the show, don't forget to subscribe, hit the 5-star rating, and share it with your HR friends. John is a father, husband, competitive golfer, author of HR Like a Boss, and founder of Willery, a professional services firm dedicated to HR and payroll technology and people. He is devoted to transforming the workplace by empowering the HR and payroll communities to navigate their ever-evolving business landscape with ownership and passion. You're listening to the HR Like a Boss podcast, hosted by John Bernatovich.
Welcome back to the HR Like a Boss podcast. I'm your host, John Bernatovich. Super excited to be joined by Dr. Emily Feltner. Dr. Emily is a former colleague of a fan of the HR Like a Boss podcast, and that fan highly recommended Dr. Emily to be on the show so much that she was questioning, why am I going to be on an HR podcast? Well, you're going to find out here in a few quick minutes. Dr. Emily, welcome to the HR Like a Boss podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here with you today. I'm really excited about our conversation.
Yeah, me too. I cannot wait. All right. So I get all guests initially talking about human resources and the purpose, but I want to make sure everyone knows, okay, who's Dr. Emily Feltner? Why is someone that doesn't practice HR every single day on the HR Like a Boss podcast? Tell us a little bit about your background, yourself, and what you're into these days.
Yeah. So I've spent over 30 years serving other people in public education. I've been a teacher, instructional coach, district school improvement specialist, professional development director. And my last role in a public education system full-time was an assistant superintendent of teaching, learning, and leadership. I currently am serving as a consultant to leaders and teachers. And I really have the best role right now. I think that I've grown into the role that I am right now. And I get to coach leaders and teachers in how to cultivate a place where we focus on learning, we collaborate together, and we really look at results to drive what we do every day. So I have probably the best role. I think I was born to have this role. I've grown myself into this. So it's a great gig.
I love to hear that. And you're just a few years into your career to get to that point, right? You had to go through all those unique circumstances to build on your experience to get to this dream job, the one that you were built for.
Yeah, I'm a product of really good leaders too, I have to say. I definitely had the unique opportunity that every leader that I worked for, I learned a lot from, and they were really important to me along my journey as an educational leader. So I feel like I really owe it to them to help others do the same. And so I'm really blessed in my career and really kind of in my calling, to tell you the truth. So
I love that. Well, so one of the main points and reason why we have you on the show is that you've got a lot of wisdom to share about teams and passion and building unity and collaboration. We'll get to those questions here in a minute, but as a professional educator, every one of my listeners has been affected, maybe not directly by the work you're doing, but by educators and people in their lives. Your favorite teacher growing up, or your worst teacher, or the principal that you hated or were afraid of, or the coach that supported you. And this idea that we can get better, we can grow, we can learn is a foundational item to me of doing human resources. So I'm curious, Dr. Emily, how would you initially, from your perspective, I ask all guests, the very first question is, how would you describe the purpose of human resources? And I'm so curious of your perspective of that as a professional educator.
Yeah, I think from my lens, it's really about cultivating people, like helping the people that we serve reach their potential. And I think it's about creating the conditions for people to work together and then work towards the vision of the organization. So I think my purpose really is, it's about people first and the vision second, which might have a different lens than others who may be in a traditional human resources position. And maybe not, I guess.
Well, no, yeah, I don't think there's one particular answer for it. In my opinion, there's a bunch of, I guess, ways that we can go about getting to that point. But I want to start with your purpose and vision. You mentioned a couple of times you're in a job now that you love. You feel like you've worked all this time. And you mentioned before we got onto the show, this idea of having a vision and being passionate about it. What does that mean to you as a leader? And how can HR professionals learn from you as a manager of people, what that the importance of that vision and passion can mean?
Well, I think first of all, like I have a very strong belief system in what I stand for. And I really do believe that my role in life is to really make life better for others. And I do that by showing up big every day. It's kind of my motto, you know, show up big. I think if you get up and get dressed and start your day, that if you're going to get up, you might as well show up big. And so I really try every day to strive to think of every decision I make. Will it in the future make life better for others? And I think when you approach life that way, you're not approaching a career, you're approaching a calling. And so for me, when I think about how to do that and how to teach others, I think it's just really understanding what I stand for, you know, and making sure that everything aligns with that. And what I say, you know, words are kind of cheap sometimes, right? So my actions have to match that. So I always think about people first, paper second. You know, I think when we think about all of the management tasks we have to do, we have to really put people first in that. And I think I do that by building teams, learning in my organization. You know, if we're not learning, obviously I'm in a learning institution. And so I feel like if the adults aren't learning, kids aren't learning. And so for me, it's about creating a learning organization where everybody wants to learn together. I think it's about hiring people who have a passion for students first, and then a passion for teaching second, and then aligning all of our efforts together. And I do that a lot through the idea of building strong teams and collaborating with each other. I think one of the things that I strive to do is always to do things with people and not to people. And it takes time. And it takes a system to do that, but it also means that when we make decisions together, we own those decisions, and we have a lot more ownership in the decisions, and then we can take the action steps to make it happen. So I think that's part of that passion I have for what I do. That's the first thing that drives me. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, sorry. Now I know exactly why that fan recommended you to be on the show, because the two foundational items of doing HR like a boss is you got to own it and you got to love it. And if you don't own your responsibility, you don't take responsibility for what you're responsible for directly and indirectly, and you don't love and have a passion for human resources and people and serving the business that you're in, then you're in the wrong game. And
right.
It's really cool that you've over time had all those different experiences, Dr. Emily, and have landed in this place where you show up big. It's so important to you. Rumor has it that you have it tattooed on your body somewhere. This is a podcast, so we won't get into that point at this time, but it is something that you believe in so wholeheartedly that it means so much to you. I'm just curious, when did that resonate? I'm not asking when you got the when you got the tattoo, but when did it really make sense to you that Dr. Emily Feltner, my brand is I need to show up big. When did that happen for you?
I think it really was when I had my own kids and I was trying to think about, like, while I was trying to create good humans with others that I served, I also wanted to create good humans in my own kids. And so my daughter and I, as I started driving her to high school, you know, you get a couple precious years before they get their license themselves. And every day we would say to each other, make new friends today. And we would say, show up big for each other, show up big for others and show up big for each other. So we kind of had a promise every morning as she left. And she and I, when she turned 18, she wanted a tattoo and we talked about it. And so we actually both have it on our foot. We both wear it on our foot in the same spot. And so I think it's a commitment that we've made to each other. And it's also a commitment that we've made to others. And so that's when it really happened that we sort of solidified it. But I think I've always felt that way. I just didn't know how to put it into words. And it just sort of became something I started saying when people were nervous about something, I would say, you can do this. You've got this. Show it big. We're going to show it big for this, you know? And so I think I started using it. People know me as using that phrase. Like, they will use it back with me. You know, if I get nervous about something, somebody will throw it back at me. Like, you've got this, like, show it big. You're not going to, it's going to work. So I think I've self-talked it for a long time, but honestly, I think it's really becoming important. I just think we have to show up, you know. I just, sometimes that looks different. Sometimes it doesn't look as my 100%, but at least I'm doing the best I can for that day and what I have to tackle. So I think it's important to me. And it's important to me that, you know, I don't work for an organization. I work for people, and the people make the organization. So I think about, how do I cultivate a vision with people? And when I take care of the people, the vision of the organization comes to life. And so I think you can't, and you talked about ownership. You have to own it. Well, you can't own it if you give it to me. I have to own it because I have to build it together, right? So I work really hard on building what we want. What is the experience you want for kids? What's the experience you want for adults? That really started for me back when I took over a school that was way underperforming, and we had all new staff, and we had the opportunity to create what we wanted. I was a very young principal, and I had the opportunity to say, what is the experience I want for kids, and what's the experience I want for adults? And one of the biggest challenges in my industry right now is that we don't have a lot of teacher retention. People leave us and they're unsatisfied, and I take that very seriously. So it's one of the biggest failures, I think, in my profession. And so I work really hard to cultivate places where teachers don't want to leave, where they feel valued, where they feel appreciated, and where they actually feel like every day they're coming to work to do something bigger than themselves. So that for me is really important. We own it because we build it together, you know?
Yeah, no, I can tell for sure. Speaking of building, one of the things I want to talk about was how successful you've been, or some of the things that you lead in the foundation of building teams together. What does that look like? If I'm on Dr. Emily's team, if I'm a direct reporter of yours, what does that team orientation feel like?
Well, one of the things it feels like is that you come together to a table weekly. So I think it's really important to say, I can't build a team if I see you once a quarter. And so we sit down and we think about, what are the biggest challenges we're facing? And we work on them together. We learn together. So if we create the vision together, we talk about that. What is our vision? We align everything to it. We meet, we learn about it. And whether that's, if it's a new skill or a new piece of knowledge that we don't know, then we read an article, we read books, we learn together on how can we lead this forward. I think learning together is one of the easiest ways to build a team, because you get people's perspectives on the table and it's not personal. It's about a piece of information. And so for me, learning together is really key in my work, right? I mean, I'm in a learning institution. And so oftentimes we say, well, what does the workplace need for our students? And if we don't know that, if we haven't read the most recent research, we can't lead towards it. And so we have to research, and we have to read together, and we have to learn together, and we talk about it. Well, what would that look like? And then we walk out the steps, right? You think about, what would it look like in our organization to make that happen? And we develop a plan, and then we start living the plan. And then each week we come back and say, how are we doing with the plan, right? So, and then I coach. I think for me, what you would see for me is I hold you accountable, but I also coach you along the way. So being on my team means that I'm going to definitely make sure you understand the expectations. I'm also going to celebrate every small piece we have. I think we forget that a little bit, right? So I think remembering that small wins are wins. And so to stop and celebrate and to get people together to say, let's acknowledge that we've made a step this week. So I think we missed some opportunities when we don't coach and support, hold people accountable, and celebrate the wins. I think those are some big pieces that you can do on a team. People often say they're on a team, but when you say, what does it feel like? We have collective responsibility. So your work is my work. My work is your work. And so if one of us is not doing well, all of us are taking responsibility to make a change and make it so that you are doing well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it totally does to me. Yeah, you got me for sure, Dr. Emily. I'd happy to be on one of your teams if it ever comes around to it. That would be really great. I want to do a quick shameless plug, and then I'm going to get you out of here on the last question we ask all guests that are on the HR Like a Boss podcast. This is the HR Like a Boss podcast. We're promoting a book I wrote that was published by Sherm Books on October 24th, Your Guide to Amazingly Awesome HR. We also have a full HR Like a Boss community available to you. If you go to hrlikeaboss.com, you can learn about how you can join that community to get recertification credits through Sherm. You can be a part of a bunch of really unique live sessions with thought leaders, give you a chance to have space for collaboration, which I know Dr. Emily mentioned is an important part of learning together. So we can do that as a united group of people looking to do HR Like a Boss. And then I cannot forget the incredible organization Willery, which has sponsored the resources that put on this podcast, all the technology that we have, Lizzie and Bridget's support behind the scenes. Thank you to them for everything they do. Willery is a staffing and consulting firm focused in the HR and payroll space. We do two distinct things. We help fill positions with great talent on HR and payroll teams. At the same time, we have a technology arm that helps to make sure that you're getting a return on your investment in regards to your HR tech. So visit willery.com to learn more. All right, Dr. Emily, I gave you a chance to think about our last question, the one that I get all guests out of. How would you describe someone that does HR like a boss?
I think people who do HR like a boss, they do things with people and not to people. They create shared vision. They train for the skills they need to carry the vision out. They gather around the table often and solve hard problems together. You hold people accountable for the work. And you stand up for the work and for your people, no matter how hard it might be. So I think, to me, that would be HR like a boss.
One of the things you did, Dr. Emily, I got to tell you, you were so abundantly clear and concise and direct with your communication. I don't know if you've been told that before. That's a talent. That's a skill, probably something that you've learned. For those of us that are listening in, I took away a couple of incredible nuggets from what Dr. Emily said. First and foremost, helping and cultivating people is the purpose of human resources. Creating conditions for success, putting them in an environment to where they're going to be successful. And something that's helped her along the way is having an incredibly strong belief system in herself that she mentioned. And paraphrase, do things with people, not to people. Come together weekly and learn together so you can support them on where your vision and your organization's heading, and make sure that you create the right structure for accountability and support people with coaching. And last but not least, show up big. If you learn anything from Dr. Emily, show up big. What a great time. Thank you so much for being here. I really enjoyed having you on the show.
Thank you. It was an honor. It was a privilege. So I'm excited about your book. I can't wait to get a hold of it and learn more.
Thanks for checking out the HR Like a Boss podcast. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, you're in for a treat with the book, HR Like a Boss. It's filled with more stories and valuable insights that can truly impact your HR career. The journey doesn't end here. Visit www.hrlikeaboss.com to join the largest community of amazingly awesome human resources professionals who are committed to doing HR like a boss. Stay connected with us on social media, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button, rate, and review. Your feedback helps us deliver content that matters to you. Reach out to join directly at john@willery.com. Until next time, let's continue to aspire to do amazingly awesome HR.